great and mighty God, we come to you in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, confessing our sin, acknowledging, Lord, our weakness. We come with fear and with trembling as we know that you are holy, 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 and we are sinful, O God. We rejoice in the cross and what it means and what it signifies in our life. It means that we who were once at enmity with you are now at peace because we have been justified freely by your grace. Oh Lord, it means that we now are on the pathway to eternal life, looking forward to that time where our faith shall become sight, where we will see you face to face as you are, and we will live in the mansions that have been purchased for us through the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, I'm thankful for this church. I'm thankful for the truth that it stands upon. I'm thankful for this people tonight who have come. Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us through your truth. We ask that Christ would be uplifted, he would be adored, that you would be honored and magnified. Lord, I come trembling as a preacher, understanding the great responsibility it is to open up your word and to proclaim your truth. Lord, I can open up your word, I can open up my mouth, but Lord, unless you impart the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, I stand tonight in vain. So Lord, help me. Give me divine assistance and your blessing this evening. Give us all ears to hear what the Spirit desires to speak to our hearts about. Lord, put aside the distractions of this life during this hour. And we ask, God, that you would meet with us. That you would change our hearts. Show us our sin, Lord, but just show us Christ. Lord, be merciful to us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Sitting in a hospital bed with his hand seriously wounded by the burns of a gas stove, the 5-year-old looks at the bandages on his hand and realizes that his hand will never look the same again. One of the nurses stops by to check on him and asks the young boy, "How did you burn your hand?" "I touched the open flames on our gas stove at home," the boy replied. "Weren't your parents around?" the nurse inquired. "Yes," the little boy responded sadly. "They were in the other room and lovingly cautioned me several times to stay away from the stove when it was on. I heard them, but I failed to obey." This is just simply an earthly illustration of a spiritual truth that I desire to bring to your attention tonight in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 13. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 13. As we turn to the book of Proverbs, we understand it to be a book of wisdom and instruction. It is written under the inspiration of God by the hand of Solomon mostly. And it is for our spiritual application tonight that we discern and understand the truths that will be told us here in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 13. For our text tonight reads, "Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded." In our text here tonight, we see two different pathways, two sides of the coins, two choices that one can make every day of their life or during life's purpose. And it is the life to follow blessing, it is the life of obedience, or it is the life that follows destruction, that which is disobedience. And so we see a description of each pathway here, and we want to look at the first, the pathway of destruction. The Bible says, "Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed." We see the pathway of destruction despises the person of Jesus Christ. Well, where do you see that? Well, when the Bible says, whoso despiseth the word, we understand that the word can mean several different things in the word of God. In John chapter 1, verse 1, John tells us that in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. In verse 14 of that chapter, he says, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He is speaking of Christ. In his epistle in 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, he writes, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. In Revelation, he continues this theme and writes in chapter 19, verse 13, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And John clearly signifies that the Word is the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ, the Anointed One, the Lord Jesus. And so when Proverbs, when Solomon writes to us, whoso despises the Word, we understand the pathway of destruction are those on this pathway who despise the person of Jesus Christ. And listen, those who despise Christ in this life will be destroyed in the life to come. Now Jesus clearly says in John's Gospel that whoso believeth not in me will die in their sins. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Christ did not come to destroy men's life. He came to save men's lives. Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. And those who despise, abhor the author of salvation, but will taste eternal damnation. But yet his cry is John 3:16, the heart of our Savior. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, shall not be destroyed, but shall have everlasting life. The pathway of destruction despises the person of Jesus Christ. And how foolish it is for a man to despise such a wonderful gift, the gift of salvation, when we consider and ponder the cross of Jesus Christ with him who has said, it is finished. The work is done. Salvation, the price is paid. The blood has been shed. He has been buried. He rose again to conquer sin, to conquer death, to prove that he is, in fact, God indeed. Yet the proverb tells us, it rings closely in our ears tonight, whoso despiseth the word, whoso despiseth Jesus Christ, the person of Christ, what he has come to do on earth for the sins of mankind, you will be destroyed. This is no fairy tale. This is no made-up, man-made story. This is the truth of God. And all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. This is profitable for you, boys and girls, teenagers, young adults, just like this story of the 5-year-old boy that we read about tonight, who was warned by his father and mother not to touch the flame on the open stove. Mommy and daddy told him not to touch it, but he touched it. He disobeyed, and his hand will never be the same again. Boys and girls, look at me here. Is that you? Do mommy and daddy tell you to obey, to honor God, obey your parents and the Lord, honor thy father and thy mother, obey the first time right away, with a good attitude? Listen, children, you will be blessed of God if you will obey this simple proverb tonight. But those who despise it, those who despise honoring their parents, will be destroyed. You won't have a life of peace. You won't have a life of joy. You'll have a life of enmity with God. You'll have a life that's filled with brokenheartedness. But oh, God and Solomon is calling us to take heed, to take caution to this warning, that whoso despiseth the word, Jesus Christ, shall be destroyed. See then here in our text also that the pathway of destruction not only despises the person of Jesus Christ, but it also despises the Word of God. What does it mean, the Word? Well, it means Christ. And what is the Word about? It is Christ, and Christ is the written Word. So to despise the Word does not only mean to despise the incarnate Word, Jesus Christ, but it also means to despise the inspired Word, the Scriptures. This verse clearly lays out the ingredients to destruction. And what are those ingredients to despise the Word that lies in front of us? Now let me ask you a question, dear believer. How is your relationship with the Word of God this evening? Are you like that child who simply hears what God's Word says, but you fail to obey it? You want to do your own will? You want to go your own way? Are you like the people in Ezekiel chapter 33, who Ezekiel's people, his own family, his own friends, who have heard the word from Ezekiel's lips? Their ears are tickled, but they will not obey as he is crying out passionately from his heart, turn from your wicked ways. Judgment is upon our nation, but if you will return, if you will repent, if you will humble yourselves, God will show you mercy. And yet the people, Ezekiel's own people, Israel, they fail to obey. They, with cold hearts and stiff necks, turn away from the commandments of the Lord. And this is the proverb tonight. The pathway of destruction despises the Word of God, despises the inspired Word, the Scriptures, the ingredients of destruction. Do you want your marriage to be destroyed? Despise the Scriptures. Do you want your family to be destroyed? Despise the Scriptures. Do you want your relationships with your friends and family members to be destroyed? Well, then go ahead and despise the Word of God. Do you want your church to come to destruction? Then despise God's way of running a church. Do you want to grow in worldliness and unrighteousness? Well, despise the Scriptures. On the flip side of the coin, do you want to have blessing in the church? Do you want to see revival? Do you want to see God's Spirit so pour down upon this place? And we must obey God's Word. On the opposite side, you want to have a thriving marriage. Husbands, you want to love your wife as Christ loves the church. Then you must obey and honor the Scriptures. You want your family to be so close, so tied together, and so focused around the cross of Jesus Christ. Then you must honor and not despise the Word of God. The end of despising the Word of God is misery, dissatisfaction, chastisement of God. The word here in Proverbs 13:13, when it says, whoso despiseth, to despise literally means to bring ruin upon yourself. It is spiritual suicide. Let me ask you, would you drink a bottle of rat poison? Children, would you jump into a pit of hundreds of rattlesnakes? And you say, no, how foolish, how could I? That's dangerous. I might be hurt. I could be killed. And yet there's greater danger in despising Jesus Christ and His Word. We look at examples in the Scriptures, Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3. They were given a command, yet they despised and faced death, came to destruction. Oh yes, they were giving a promise of the coming Messiah in Genesis chapter 3 verse 15. God's grace is so wonderful and bountiful. And though while we have sinned against Him, He comes with love and mercy and grace. But that doesn't negate the purpose that they despise the Word and they face destruction. And we now see that sin has passed upon all men. Romans chapter 5 verse 12. For that all have sinned. We face the consequences of Adam and Eve because of what they have done. And Noah, in Genesis 6, we read this preacher of righteousness warning others to get on the ark while there is time, telling others that the rain of God's judgment is about to fall, but God is inviting all who will enter into the door to come, to be safe. God will close the door, and all those inside the ark will be safe from the judgment outside. And what did they do? They pointed the finger at Noah and mocked. They despised the Word. When the door closed and the rain fell, destruction. What about Pharaoh, Israelites in Egypt? How many times Moses came to warn Pharaoh, this will happen, this plague will come upon you. And how many times Pharaoh, in his false repentance, in his shallow confession, said that he was going to obey the word, but yet despised it, and he was destroyed. How about Nadab and Abihu in the book of Numbers, who offered strange fire before the Lord? They did not follow the ways of God in their ministry, and they offered strange fire before the Lord. And oh, this ought to put fear and trembling in the hearts and the minds of preachers who think that they can do ministry in their own way. They can do ministry according to the whims and the ways of this world. Destruction will fall. About Achan, who took of the accursed thing, who hid it, and was destroyed, stoned outside of the camp. How about Uzzah, touching the ark when it was about to fall? Oh, he meant to do well, but he disobeyed, destroyed. Ananias and Sapphira, as we heard just weeks ago from Pastor on Sunday morning, through their covetousness, through their hypocrisy, despising the word and destroyed. King David, oh, yes, a man after God's own heart. When he should have been out to war, he was at the palace. When he should have turned at the first look of lust, he looked, he desired, he took, committed murder. Despised the word, destroyed. Oh, God had mercy, but the sword never left his family. He faced the consequences. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed. So what should our response be to those who bring self-ruin upon themselves, to those who are drinking the spiritual rat poison of this world? What should be our response to them? Well, number one, probe your own heart. That is, examine your own heart. Perhaps there are areas in our spiritual life where we have caused destruction, where we need to seek the face of God and plead for His mercy and grace. There's no use going to somebody else who has a speck in their eye and there's a beam in our own. So we need to probe or examine our own hearts, our own lives, to see if there are areas where we may be blinded to, see if there are areas where we are despising the word, oh, so that we might not be destroyed. Secondly, we ought to pray for them. There are family members, friends, church members here in this place, and you know they're running from the Lord and they're running fast, and your heart cries out after them. What should we do? What should be our response? Secondly, pray for them. God alone has the power to transform their heart. God alone has the love and the mercy to be like the father of that prodigal son, to stand on the hill and wait for them to return. And then as he looks upon that son, he runs after him and throws his arm around them. We can pray. Pray ye one for another. Pray that other believers in this place, oh, they're doing fine now. They're doing fine spiritually. They seem to be okay. But let me remind you of the sad testimony of the author of Proverbs. One who saw God, one who met with him, one who wrote many proverbs, many songs, one who had wisdom unsearchable, but that sad testimony in 1 Kings chapter 11, that Solomon loved many strange women, and his heart was turned away unto their gods. Don't let past spiritual accomplishments keep you where you're at right here, right now. It's a day-to-day fight. We must pray. We must pray for ourselves. We must pray for one another. Thirdly, we must plead. We must plead with others, with believers who are bringing self-ruin, self-destructions upon themselves. Like Ezekiel, who would stand up in the midst of a perverse and crooked nation and say, return. Like a Jeremiah, who would stand in the gap and say, return, repent, get right with God. Only one life will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. Our life is but a vapor. It appears for a short time, and then vanishes away. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And so many are living for the pleasures and the pursuit of this life, and we are called as God's servants, as God's ambassadors, to go and to plead with them, not only to the saved, but to the unsaved. and to warn them of this message in Proverb, that whoso despiseth the word, notice, shall be destroyed. It is a promise. God who does not lie, God who is a God of truth, keeps his word. And be sure your sin will find you out. So when he says, whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, he means, whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed. Then secondly, we look at the pathway of blessing. The pathway of blessing. The second part of this word. The other side of the coin. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. The pathway of blessing, we call it, honors the person of Jesus Christ. To fear is to revere, to honor. It is not a terror of who Christ is. No, it is a reverence. It is an honor. It is faith and obedience in principle of fear. And we ought always to fear the Lord Jesus Christ, to strive to obey and to follow him. And those who fear Christ in this life will enjoy Christ in the life to come. And what a joyous passage of Scripture this is, that he that fears, he that stands in awe of the commandment shall be rewarded. The commandment, God's word, the commandments, the person of Jesus Christ, both, as we saw in the first half of the verse. Those who fear him and his word will not be destroyed, but we will be rewarded. Do you revere his word? You do not revere the word of God if it's laying on the dashboard of your car 6 days out of the 7 of a week. We do not revere the word of God if we only open it up on Sundays. We do not honor the Word of God if we only open it up at 10 o'clock, 6 o'clock on Sundays. We do not honor the Word of God if we open it up and read it to our children, but fail to obey it. To fear the commandment, it is also to obey. What will be the reward if we fear God's Word? Well, we will be rewarded with the greatest reward that man can receive. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Asaph in Psalm 73 says, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My heart and my flesh faileth, but thou, God, you are the strength of my heart and my portion forever. What is our reward? Pastor, tell me, if I obey God's commandment, if I submit myself to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, what will be my reward? Here it is. The greatest reward that man can receive. The reward that the rich young ruler missed. He went away sad because he loved his possession over the greatest possession that man can have. It is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Why do we come into this place? Why do we tremble at the word? Because we love him who has first loved us. Because we understand there's no greater love than the love of the friend who has laid down his life for us. What will we be rewarded with? It is Christ. And then from Christ is a fountain of many, many blessings. We will be rewarded with joy unspeakable and full of glory. We will be rewarded with a peace that passes all understanding. We will be rewarded with contentment, forgiveness of sin, a future home in heaven, and oh, so many more. Is it worth it? To fear the Lord, to tremble at his word? Absolutely, because we understand that he is worthy of our praise, of our adoration, of our obedience. Blessing comes by fearing the commandment. What is the whole duty of man? But to fear God, to keep his commandments. The pathways, destruction, reward. The promise, notice, shall be. It is a promise. Those who fear the commandment shall be rewarded. In your day-to-day walk, in your day-to-day strivings against sin, you will be rewarded with God's goodness, with his grace, with his mercy, not because of you, but because of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Psalm 115, verse 1. I wonder if a lot of problems in the church could be settled if we truly understood this verse. I wonder if a lot of problems in the home, a lot of problems with other family members and friends, if it would be settled, if we would truly understand this verse tonight, that whoso despiseth, I don't want to submit to my husband as the Bible tells me. I don't want to love my wife as Christ loved the church. I don't want to honor my parents in the Lord, even though it says that it's right. I don't want to give to missions. I don't want to go to church. I know the word of God in Hebrews tells us, so forsake not the assembly of ourselves together. I don't want to take heed to the pastor's advice. That's your attitude. Sometimes it's even hidden or secret, even though you come to a church. There will be destruction. But if your heart's desire is like David, who said, Lord, I delight to do your will. If it is as we pray in the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we will be rewarded with his goodness, with his grace, with his very person, with his spirit. To be filled with the Spirit is to be filled with the Word, is to be filled with Christ, that the Word of God dwell within you richly. So we are to be filled with the Spirit by being filled with the Word, but if we despise the Word, we are not filled with the Spirit. We are filled with anger and pride and selfishness and bitterness and wrath. We're told to cast off those things, to walk in wisdom, redeem the time, for the days are evil. So see the promise. It is a promise. God cannot lie. But listen, as we conclude tonight, the decision is yours. Only two choices on the shelf, one for God and one for self. What will it be? Each day of your life, what will the choice be? Will you choose to despise the word and be destroyed, or will you choose to fear the commandment and be rewarded? This is Christianity 101. This is Christian counseling 101. If you would meditate upon this verse, if you would memorize this verse, I commend it to your memory in family devotions this week. Go ahead, memorize it. Write it on the whiteboard. It is a verse worth memorizing and meditating upon. The pathway of destruction versus the pathway of blessing. God desires blessings in our life, but he cannot live our lives for us. We have choices. We have decisions that we will make. And we have come to the Lord's house this day to hear the word of God so that we might take it and apply it to our hearts. Perhaps there's some heart searching, heart surgery that is needed tonight. We need to go home, get alone with the Lord, wrestle with him. We need to go home and talk with those near and dear to us. Confess our sins. Don't hide them. Those who hide them, those who forsake, those who hide and cover their sin will not have mercy. But those who confess and forsake it shall find mercy. Perhaps that's you. You need to go home and confess. Get right with those whom you love. Perhaps it's somebody here in the church. You've been despising the commandment because you've been hiding bitterness, wrath, anger, malice, and all these works of the flesh, and they've just been boiling over. And you're ready to just throw in the towel and say, I'm done. What is it? But whoso feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. I wonder what it would look like if Westside Baptist Church would collectively fear the commandment of God. I wonder what the spirit of this place would be like on a Sunday morning as we sung praises to his name. What would we be rewarded with? Pure praise, pure adoration. And it's a daily striving against sin. It's a daily walk with the Lord. It's wrestling with the Lord in prayer. And I pray that we would not be like that five-year-old boy who heard from his parents, don't touch the stove, but he failed to obey. Presumption, self-will, rebellion. We conclude with two verses. Psalm 112, verse 1, was read last week in our scripture reading. Brother Russ read this verse. Psalm 112, verse 1 says, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. The man that fears the Lord, the man that delights greatly in God's commandments is the blessed man, is the man full of joy. But the man who despiseth the Lord, who does not delight in the commandments of the Lord, but delights in the things of this world, no joy, no blessing. And then Isaiah chapter 66, verses 1 and 2. Isaiah chapter 66, as Isaiah is about to put down his pen under the divine inspiration of God. Isaiah 66, the last chapter, the book of Isaiah, verses 1 and 2. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and what trembleth at my word. I want the Lord's glance to look my way. I want to be this man who is broken and contrite. For his word tells us, those who are of a broken and contrite spirit, he will not despise, but he will bless. Maybe it is the prayer tonight of your heart. God, give me a renewed relationship for the word of God. Help me to be in the book more than in front of the screen. Help me to be in this book more than other books. Help me to spend more time in prayer and meditation and memorization than I am in frivolous gossip or chatter with others. We wonder why our spiritual lives do not thrive. Well, how it is? How is it? How's your relationship with the Word of God? We said it at family camp. A casual relationship with the Word of God reveals a casual relationship with the Son of God. I can tell your walk with God by how you hear, receive, and obey the Scripture. Oh, may God give us a love and a desire for His Word tonight. May God give us a greater love for His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In attitude of prayer, as we conclude, as we consider this passage before us, whoso despiseth the Word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. We started with prayer. We want to end with prayer. Cry out, search me, O God. Try me. Know my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me. We'll pray. I'll pray. There'll be a song. And then you can get along with the Lord if need be. But do not forget this passage of Scripture tonight. Two pathways. Which one are you on? Which one will you decide to walk on as you wake the day tomorrow? Father, we commit this time to you. Father, we ask for your power. We ask for your grace. We ask for your mercy to help us, Lord, to keep our hearts and our minds and our eyes focused and fixed upon you. Oh, Lord, you are worthy. Oh, Lord, you desire to bless us. You have called us, Lord, to walk in obedience. Oh, Lord, I pray that you would help your people tonight. Father, give us a love for your word, for the truth. Give us a love for Christ. Lord, we yield ourselves to you. Give us that contrite and broken spirit that your word speaks us of. Clothe us, Lord, in humility. Help us, Lord, to be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ, for God's sake, hath forgiven us. Lord, have your will and your way. As we sing this invitation song, as we meditate upon your word. In Jesus' name, amen.